Hi, welcome to .NET Conf day two. This is the web day. I'm Scott Hunter. I'm a group program manager at Microsoft on the application platform team that builds ASP.NET, the Visual Studio web tooling, and all the server-side frameworks like Entity Framework, WCF. And I'm here today to talk about where ASP.NET is going both today and in the future. So to start off, I want to talk about .NET Conf, the next .NET Conf. This .NET Conf, the whole idea behind .NET Conf is to be both Microsoft and community driven. This particular .NET Conf, July 25th and July 26th, is all Microsoft people. So everybody speaking yesterday and today is from Microsoft. But we have another .NET Conf coming later this year. And in it, we basically are going to cover things like .NET Core. We're going to cover both .NET on client and device, and once again, server and cloud. And in this particular .NET Conf, we will have both community and product team members speaking. So we wanted to have community this time around as well. We just weren't able to make that fit in with the schedule that we had. So we'll do it later this fall. Let's talk about ASP.NET. When I started working on this presentation, I went back and looked at the history of ASP.NET, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe that ASP as a technology inside of Microsoft, it's been around for 18 years. And if I look at this, I think of a couple of major milestones in this. First is 1996 is when Active Server Pages came out. And this was basically client scripting pages for building web applications. Before Active Server Pages, PHP came out in the same time frame as well. Before that milestone, the way that you wrote web applications was actually writing like C or C++ DLLs that you actually wired into your web server. Which was not a great way of writing web applications. And then in 2002, there was this wave where we said, hey, we want to make people that have been building desktop applications, we want to make it very easy to build web applications. And so we created ASP.NET, specifically web forms, which had a lot of concepts that are very familiar for a desktop developer. You had controls, you had a design surface, you could drag controls, and we abstracted a lot of the web away from you. And it made kind of revolutionized web programming. It was also based on .NET, which means you had strongly typed, you had C#. Very cool. So then you kind of move forward, and around 2008, this is what I would call the era of the out-of-band releases for the ASP.NET team. We started wanting to ship our frameworks faster and faster, and the .NET framework was shipping every 2 or 3 years. And so we started releasing frameworks outside of the .NET framework, and that started with MVC, which followed the model view controller pattern that Ruby on Rails had made popular. Then we wanted to do it to go and make it easy to build applications, so we built something called ASP.NET Web Pages, and the goal of Web Pages was to basically let you build something in a PHP or a ASP style programming model where you can kind of mix your markup and your code together in a very simple way. It's great today for even building a spa type application where you don't have lots of server logic. And then we went down a path where we were going to go and support devices. So we came out with ASP.NET Web API, which is great for building web applications that provide endpoints that you can call from a phone or a tablet or JavaScript in a page. And we came out with our real-time framework, SignalR, that same year as well. And that's for building real-time applications where, you know, imagine you have an app where you're showing stocks, and you want those values to update in real time. Like every 10 seconds, they all refresh on the screen. How do you do that to a lot of clients? And that's what SignalR is all about. And it provides a very simple programming model. And then I'm going to move forward to the era that we're starting today, which is what we're calling right now ASP.NET vNext. Once we get further in our shipping cycle, we'll come up with an actual name. And I like to call this modern web. So I think there's three big active points, which is one, 1996, when we started creating ASP scripting. Then 2002, we do .NET for ASP.NET, and ASP becomes ASP.NET. Then our OOB frameworks, and now what we're going to kind of calling the next generation, which is modern web. And if you ask me what does modern web mean? I think modern web means, from a framework perspective, it means I'm going to go build web apps, but instead of targeting a desktop, by default, I'm going to target devices. Everybody's got a phone. A lot of folks have tablets. You build a web application, you want it to run great on all these places. I think of web applications today as responsive, meaning that, you know, when I write my HTML, I want my HTML to automatically format well onto whatever the type of device I have. Typically in ASP.NET, we use things like a framework called Bootstrap to do something like this. With Bootstrap, we can provide some attributes that you place in your markup, and it'll automatically align and readjust and look great on a variety of devices. I start thinking of client. We're doing more work on the client than we ever have before. There's great frameworks like AngularJS, there's Ember, there's Knockout, there's Backbone, all these frameworks exist. And I think of modern web, think of how does ASP.NET play well with those frameworks? And then obviously at Microsoft, we've got the Azure cloud, and you know, applications are moving from on-premise to the cloud. And so we want to make sure that whatever we build is great for building cloud apps. And then we know that people have a variety of machines that they want to both develop on and build on. And so I think cross-platform is important. From a tooling perspective, when we think of modern web, I think of a standard space. We've been pushing hard on standards for many years on the ASP.NET team. We have great support for HTML5, CSS3, and JavaScript and Visual Studio. We've just started this path of adding more tooling into the browser now. So it used to be that we, inside of Visual Studio, we would actually host like Internet Explorer inside of the Visual Studio. But what you find is, you know, all these devices, you end up trying, you make your applications need to work great in all the browsers, Chrome, Firefox, Internet Explorer, the mobile versions of those things. And so we're looking at pushing tooling into the browser, and the benefit of having your tooling in the browser is, you know, you can try it on each of those browsers. And then I want to say another key theme that we're kind of moving towards something is called what I'm calling open tooling. If you've been a Visual Studio user for a long time, you live in that world, you might not have seen the things that are happening in the open source world. There's a tool called Grunt. It's used to basically run tasks for you. Examples of tasks is it might watch the file system. If it sees that you changed a JavaScript file, it might run a linter against that JavaScript file and give you hints of what your errors might be. It might do the same for a CSS file. If you're using a lot of client frameworks, as I mentioned on the web framework side, there's a huge ecosystem of client libraries that are brought down via a package manager called Bower. And so one of the things we want to think about moving forward is we want to think about how do we integrate both Grunt and Bower into Visual Studio. So if you are a front-end developer and you're moving into Visual Studio, you're going to feel familiar. The tools you've used outside of the Microsoft ecosystem work great. If you're a Visual Studio user, we're going to make it so seamless that you don't even see or know these things are there unless you care. And so that's kind of what I define modern web. I want to talk about the changes we're going to make to ASP.NET moving forward to address building these modern web applications. These are just a couple of bullet points. We want to be modular, and I'll explain what that means in a second. That just means that we don't want to... today, ASP.NET is this huge beast of things that has all these features enabled by default. We want to let you turn those things on and off when you want. We want you to be able to easily transition your application from on-premise to the cloud. Today you can do that, but it requires a little bit of work on your side. We'd like to make that work go away. We want to make development faster. How long does it take you to change some source code and refresh, you know, and recompile and relaunch your browser? It takes like 8 or 9 seconds. Can we make that faster? We want to let you choose your editors and tools. And by that, what I mean is, imagine you're using Visual Studio Online. You publish your application up to Azure, and you're using Visual Studio Online, and you want to make a quick change in your application. It'd be great if you could actually edit your application in the Azure portal using the Monaco web editor versus having to drive back to the office or find your laptop and pull it out and do a build of your application. So we'd love to enable ASP.NET to work great in other editors. And then we think cross-platform is important as well. There's lots of developers that have Macs today, and Linux is in the enterprise today as well. We'd love to make ASP.NET run great both on the Mac and on the Linux. And obviously, we want to be open source and take contributions. We've been doing that for a couple of years. I'm really excited about the vNext stuff that we're doing because it's the fastest we've ever got something open sourced from the ASP.NET perspective. And then, of course, we want the framework to be fast. So let me drill in and talk about some of these things. First off, we look at the types of applications that people build, And there's a few of these. One is there's the, I'm going to build an enterprise line of business application. That's what a lot of our folks do today. There's also people building enterprise line of business applications that might be desktop applications, they might be phones, they might be tablets, and they need to talk to some back ends. So we want to support building those back ends with web API. And then we talk about that modern web application that I was talking about before. That's, you know, your application that looks like Outlook.com or Facebook or Twitter. These really responsive, work on all devices, a lot of client-side code. We want to make ASP.NET the best platform for building those types of applications. If I look at the frameworks overall, we want to make things more consistent. All of our frameworks that we have today, like Web Forms and MVC and Web API, were all built in different times. And each of them does things like tracing differently. Each of them does things like dependency injection differently. So we want to make all that consistent. As I said before in the earlier slide, we want to be more modular. We want to let you turn on or off what code you want yourself versus us deciding that for you. We want to make things like DI a first-class citizen in the frameworks. So let me talk about a couple of the high-level points here. One is agility. And when I think of agility, the main thing I think about is when I talk to my customers today, one of the things that I always hear is, man, we're still using .NET 4, so we can't use the new await keyword that came out in .NET 4.5. And I'm like, well, why can't you use .NET 4.5? Well, I can't use .NET 4.5 because if we put that on our machine, it might break the other applications on the machine. So one of our goals moving forward is we want to make you more agile. I want you to be able to actually use the latest features that we ship immediately. And the way I want to do that is we're going to offer the ability in ASP.NET vNext for you to basically ship the framework as part of your application. And don't freak out. That doesn't mean we're going to put 200 megabytes into your application. We've got a shrunken down framework that contains just the core components that you would build for server applications. It means it doesn't contain things like WPF or WinForms, client-side type stuff. It's just the server basis. And we can shrink that down to 10 or 15 megabytes. And obviously, we'd have a feature to keep a copy of that on the machine so you don't have to copy that a million times to your machine. Then we want to ship all of our features as packages. So the idea here is keep the framework as small as possible. And have all the features be packages, which allows you as a developer to opt in to whatever features you want via packages. We also want to give you more control. And by more control, what I mean is today, if you're building an application, you have no idea probably what level of patches you have on your developer machine versus what the level of patches are on the server that you ship to. And sometimes that can actually cause problems. You can actually, it runs great locally, you copy it up to your server, and it doesn't work correctly, and you're like, why doesn't it work? And you find out there's some patch that we put on a machine. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to only patch zero-day vulnerabilities in ASP.NET via Windows Update. That means the change for you as a developer is you've got to come to us via NuGet and say, show me the newest packages for ASP.NET. If there's a bug, now you get to choose when you want to take the fix for the bug versus us trying to push it to you via Windows Update. The benefit you get here is, as I was saying before, the same code that runs on your development machine is running in the production. So those environments are exactly the same. It also means that we as a team have more flexibility. Today, it's very difficult for me to change something in the .NET framework. I can change things in our outer band packages like MVC and Web API, but changing something in that .NET framework, because of the compatibility we have to maintain over all these years, it's very difficult for me to change there. Even if I fix a bug, I might break your application. So we want to have more flexibility as a team to offer functionality to you guys faster, and then you can opt in versus us pushing it to you. Then the next thing is we want to focus on developer speed. And there's a couple of things there. One is runtime performance. Today, ASP.NET, once it boots up, is a very fast framework. We've got some benchmarks if you're using some of our newest bits where we are very competitive or better than Node.js in our execution. We've got a great garbage collector. But our startup times are not great. We have a sample app called MVC Music Store. It ends up taking 10 or 15 seconds to boot up cold. We would like to get that cold start time down to 2 or 3 seconds. Very fast. We want to start very fast. And then we want to lower the memory that we require when we run. A great example of this is when I was showing that history of ASP.NET. when we went from classic ASP, the scripting ASP, to ASP.NET, we wanted to maintain as much compatibility as we could. And so what we did is we took all these intrinsic objects from classic ASP and made ASP.NET versions of these things. If you add all that together, that comes up in an object called the HTTP context. The HTTP context object cost us about 30K every time that a request comes into ASP.NET. In ASP.NET vNext, we think we can get that average payload down to 1 or 2K. So you're basically saving 28K per request. And when that happens, you've lowered the pressure on the garbage collecting system, and you've lowered your memory footprint in general, and you've got a faster framework. Another thing that we do today is, as I said before, all of our features are turned on by default. And we want to get to a model where you as a developer can opt into whatever features you want. This means if you just want to have us call a method and hand you the socket from the browser that connected, we can do that without running session state or caching or request validation or any of the things that are in there. Now, if you want to opt back into those things, you're welcome to turn those things on. In fact, you could even do that in a mix and max mode. You could say, hey, I've got this one URL, I want it to get a bare socket. I've got this other URL, I want it to run cache and session and MVC and web API, and we can do that. And so that allows you a lot more flexibility and once again makes those performance numbers go up. The next thing is we want to make your development cycle better. As I was saying before, today you have to actually do a build step. I'd like to remove that build step and say basically, hey, all you do is you open up the code editor, make your change, save your code, refresh the browser, and all the compilation happens in the background. We also would love to say, you know, as I was saying before, is if I do some of these things, like that edit and refresh, that gives me some other cool benefits as well. And one of those cool benefits is it means we don't require a editor or Visual Studio to actually build your application. This means it enables these scenarios like being able to edit my application in the cloud with VS Online because it doesn't require that compilation step. And so the hope here is that not only do we give you that faster cycle of development, but it means when you go to the cloud, you can actually edit your application live in the cloud just like you could with PHP, Node, or Ruby today. And so we think all of this will help developer agility. And then the next thing is cloud. Cloud is super important to us. I mean, we're a cloud company now. And today, if you take an ASP.NET application and you move it to the cloud, you've got to be aware of a variety of things. If you're using session state, well, you have to go find a session state provider that talks to a SQL database or a storage account in the cloud or a cache in the cloud. If you're using our ASP.NET cache, that cache is only going to work on the single machine. You might actually need to go find a NuGet package to make the cache work in a farm as well. And each time you do one of these things, you're going to find that your coding changes a little bit. So for example, in both session and cache, if you actually enable the providers to make these work in the cloud, they change the programming semantics. If you're developing against these things locally, any object will work in the cache or session. As soon as you move to the cloud, you have to have those objects be serializable. So you hook these providers up, your app doesn't run anymore, you're confused, it's not good. So we want to make those things transparent in this world. Another thing is configuration. We know our configuration system is too complicated, in my opinion, when we have features. We have this feature called XML transformations, where we can actually take your web.config file and merge it and change it before we actually copy it up to the cloud. The reality is, in the cloud, your configuration should be defined in the cloud. And ASP.NET should be smart enough to realize, hey, when I'm running locally, I'll use a config file, and when I'm in the cloud, I'll use the environment in the cloud. And so we have a brand new configuration system in ASP.NET where you can basically define, hey, I want to talk to a config file, but if there is an environment, I want the environment to override the config file. This allows you to basically run locally, copy to the cloud, and the cloud environment takes over your configuration. And so you can see here, cloud ready, we want our configuration, our session, our cache, just to work in the cloud. And I don't even want you to have to go get the providers anymore. I want When you publish your application to the cloud, the app to realize it's in the cloud and to use the cloud variants of these things. Then, inspirationally, I don't know if you've used Visual Studio with Azure since last fall, but last fall we added a really awesome ability. If you're using the SDK that we shipped in November, you could actually debug your application in the cloud, live in the cloud. You can basically publish your app to Azure, you go to the Server Explorer, you find your app, you right-click on it, you say Attach Debugger. And when you do, we attach the debugger live to your cloud instance. We want to take that a step further. We want to be able to say that you can just control F5 and F5 directly in the cloud. I don't know if we'll get that in the next version of Visual Studio, but we're working that direction. Another big thing is, once you get your application to the cloud, how do you debug it? That's always a challenge. Today it's kind of a mess. What you would actually do is you put it in the cloud, customer complains, you're like, man, how do I go find out what that is? Well, today you'd probably go then find some tracing library, add a bunch of tracing, you publish a debug version of your application to the cloud. That's a cumbersome process. What we want to do is, as we rebuild these frameworks, we want to have consistent tracing built into all of our frameworks, whether you're using web pages, MVC, web API, SignalR, EF, we want that to be consistent. And then I want to give you the ability to go to the portal in the cloud and turn the diagnostics on and off without publishing your application. So if you think there's problems, just go turn the diagnostics on to the level that you want, watch the logs in the cloud, fix your application, republish. Make that a much better experience. And then finally, we think cross-platform is important. So this new smaller subset of .NET that we have that lets us publish the framework with your application means that we can actually run on things like Mono. And so we can actually support running ASP.NET on Mac and on Linux, which we think is important. Once again, through some of those same features I was talking about before, where we no longer require a build step in Visual Studio, well, that also means you could actually take Sublime Text Editor on a Mac, edit your application in Mono, and run it again without having that Visual Studio requirement. Obviously, it's going to work best in Visual Studio, but we want to enable those scenarios outside of Visual Studio. And then, of course, as I said, we open sourced ASP.vNext on GitHub at the TechEd conference a little over a month ago. And so we're excited about that. Finally, I want to talk about what does this mean to you? So all the stuff I talked about, these new apps that we're going to build, we're just thinking of them as the next versions of all of our frameworks. So I'm going to call this MVC 6, but we're going to take MVC, Web API, and Web Pages and merge them all together into a single framework. They were all built at different points in time. And so in the new world, you'll be able to have a controller. That same controller can return both HTML, or it can return a data payload, be it JSON, XML, whatnot. We're going to let you write CSHTML pages that don't have a back end. But even though they don't have a back end, meaning a controller, I think you can assume in the new world there'll be a pseudo controller there. So it'll be much easier to write your CSHTML file. And if you want to convert it into a controller view, easily do that. And so where we kind of land here is we're going to let you run these new applications on both .NET vNext, and we're going to let you run it on what we call .NET vNext Cloud Optimized. The Cloud Optimized .NET is the one that doesn't contain all of the client pieces. It's the smaller subset. And so if you look at the feature set here, the cloud-ready capabilities are going to work great no matter which framework you're using. The modular design, you're going to get that everywhere. The dependency injection is a first-class citizen, you're going to get that everywhere as well. The debugging and tracing, the faster build, the open source, that works everywhere. If you want that full side-by-side, that's going to require you to take a dependency on that smaller framework. And I call it out just as a point that if you're using, the .NET framework is pretty big today. This smaller framework today doesn't have all of the features of the big framework. And so there could be some compatibility issues there. Our goal as a team is to address those over time. We want to go add whatever you guys say is missing. We want to go add those things back, but we'll add them back as NuGet packages instead of adding them back as a framework. And then some of our perf will, you'll get more perf on this smaller framework because it is, a smaller framework. What does it mean for things like compatibility? Well, first off, we plan to ship MVC Web Forms, MVC 5, Web API 2, all the frameworks that we have today, and we're still maintaining. We have an update 3 to Visual Studio 2013 that's coming out later this year, which will contain 5.2 versions of a lot of these frameworks. We're going to continue to move these things forward, so don't feel you have to have a quick rush to move to the new frameworks. If you do move to the frameworks, the newer frameworks, there are going to be some changes. One is there's a new project system. The new project system is pretty cool. I think it's more web friendly. You'll see demos of this later today as part of the ASP.NET vNext 101 session. But the new project system is pretty slick from the standpoint your project file no longer contains a list of all the files that are in your project, which means you can just copy files directly into your project and not have to go through that add process in Visual Studio. It's got some other cool features where the only configuration in the project system is really what dependencies your app takes. And that's through a new project.json file, which you'll see demoed. We have a new configuration system, as I was calling out before. It's pretty cool. It's pluggable. By default, it uses a JSON file, but you can, via code, you can say, I want to use an INI file. You can use environment variables. You can use, potentially, we're going to enable you to actually use a web config as well. We'd only grab the application settings block of that. And then finally, in this new world, because we're not that big framework, we're not using system web as the base piece. A lot of our frameworks like SignalR and Web API already don't use system web as the base, but this means that things like MVC and web pages will move away from that as well. The biggest thing to think about as you're building apps today, if you want to be compatible with this world, don't be touching that HTTP context object. Use the programming models that are designed for that. And then finally, the final breaking kind of change, as I said a couple times already, is this framework, if you're doing the full side-by-side, is not the full framework that we have today. It's a subset of that. And you got to be aware that some of the stuff that you're using might not be there. So to summarize, I know Jay talked about the client yesterday, and so I want to summarize here and talk about what we've got here is we've got the .NET framework. You can build all the same client apps you can today. You can build all the same server apps you can build today. But we're going to have these new specialized optimized versions. There's a device optimized version, which lets you build phone and store apps that use native compilation. Because they're native compilation, that means it compiles the framework into your application. You get the same side-by-side benefit that we're offering in the cloud, in the ASP.NET world as well. And they're cross-device enabled. You can build the same app that runs on multiple devices, the tablets and phones. And from a web space, you know, we're going to give you higher performance. We're going to give you that full side-by-side, and we're going to give you the cross-platform in the specialized path here. And then, of course, everything, this is just .NET, so everything runs on the same stuff. We're going to give you, you know, a new optimized runtime with new jitters. We've got new compilers, Roslyn, which gives you new features in C#. And then, of course, all the BCL components, base class libraries that you use today, and portable class library features, you know, work across all of the .NET continuum. And then, of course, we want to be very open. We've got this brand new .NET foundation where we're putting all of our open source components. We've got one more slide here. I want to talk about the rest of the day for the web day of .NET Conf. After this, Pranav Rastogi and myself are going to talk about web forms and what's new for web forms. You know, you heard a bunch about what's brand new for ASP.NET vNext. Well, what are we doing in the web form space? And Pranav and I are going to talk about that. Then we've got Dan Roth coming in after that. He's going to talk about ASP.NET MVC 6. And as I was saying before, MVC 6 contains Web API, MVC, it'll contain web pages, all in one framework. We've got a brand new version of Entity Framework coming. It's pretty cool. It's optimized in a way where you can actually use the same Entity Framework code on a Windows Store app, a Windows Phone app, an ASP.NET app, or a Windows Desktop app. So it's pretty cool. It runs across all of those. It's much faster, lighter weight. It even has the capability, if you want, to plug a non-relational store into it. So you could actually plug it to something like table storage in Azure, for example. We've got Syed coming on. We have Brady coming on to talk about websites. I've got Syed coming on to talk about how you publish in ASP.NET. Pranav's going to come back and talk about identity. We've got a great identity system that makes it easier than ever to let users log into your applications using third-party like Facebook, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft accounts. At the same time, letting you have a rich profile, which you can easily modify and change. We support things like two-factor auth. It's really cool. As I said in some of the presentations earlier, dependency injection is going to be a base of our new frameworks, and so we're going to have a talk talking about DI and ASP.NET. Then Damien's going to come out and talk a little bit about SignalR. And then finally, I think that one of the most exciting sessions will be from 4:30 to 5. We're going to have some folks come out and show you the ASP.NET vNext that I just talked about and how it works. And so with that, I'm going to be on the Jabber Room later today to take any questions about this. And then Pranav and I will be up next in a moment to talk about web forms.